Welcome to Escapes. I'm Erica Hemphill, and I am thrilled to invite you on this empowering journey. Join me as we explore the art of escaping self-doubt, the constraints of the 9-to-5 grind, the false realities that hold us back. We'll empower you to embrace entrepreneurship, motherhood, and co-working with your partner, and to boldly step into leadership roles that were once thought unattainable. Escapes is more than a podcast. It's a community of resilient women and men who are rewriting their stories, chasing their dreams, and smashing through glass ceilings. Together, we'll share stories of triumph, strategies for success, discuss our failures, and use insights from remarkable individuals who have paved their own paths to greatness. So join me, Erica Hemphill, as we unlock the doors to your unlimited potential. It's time to escape, empower, and embrace. Oh, and elevate. Your adventure begins now. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to another podcast of Escapes. Thank you for escaping with me for 1 hour to get your mind at ease, to get your mindset right, and to introduce power couples and entrepreneurs in our local area. I hope that you've been listening and following through with us to our following episodes. And let's get right to it. So this morning, I have a good friend of mine and a coworker, I would call him. We sit on a board together. And I'm just excited to share his knowledge and some good nuggets with everybody. He's been in the entrepreneurial world for quite some time and has prospered. And I think he has a lot to share with us this morning. So I want to introduce to you guys, Mr. Joe Meir.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Erica. So great to be here with y'all this morning. And just have a little bit of a discussion on all the great fun and challenging things about being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I know. There's so much to talk about. There's so many things that I think we have a smoke and mirror about what entrepreneurship is like. But before we jump right into those good conversations, can you just introduce yourself, let the audience know who you are, where you're located, what you do?
Sure. Yeah. So again, my name is Joe Meir. I am a real estate appraiser, 57 years old, been in small business. The majority of my adult life, I've been a small business owner. And I do real estate appraisals on the North Shore of Southeast Louisiana, which is Washington Parish, St. Tammany Parish, Tangipahoa Parish, and Livingston Parish. I started this is unbelievably my 30th year in the appraisal business. And I started on the South Shore throughout the parishes on the South Shore, Orleans, St. Bernard, Jefferson, all those areas, and kind of got my teeth into it and really learned a ton of ways of appraising. Because as you know, or maybe you don't, on the South Shore, there's just a plethora of different types of properties from uptown, really, really nice uptown homes on St. Charles Avenue to starter homes on the West Bank in Jefferson Parish near Lafitte. So just a really broad type of different types of property that really taught me how to analyze and do appraisals. And so, that's where we're at today. And 30 years later, we're still doing it, still going strong.
So I guess that brings me to my first question. What and how did you even get into appraisals? And why was that your business of choice? Or did you know?
That's a great question. You know, I was a young father when Elaine and I married, and had two children right away. I actually, like most people in Louisiana, started off in the oil field. I was on offshore platforms, working production platforms offshore. And that was in the late 80s. And the oil business, the oil bust happened in late 1980s. And so I had to make a shift. Well, I made a shift. I've got two brothers that are river captains on the Mississippi River and all over the place. And of course, you know, when things like that happen, you kind of start asking, hey, anybody's got work? Right. Well, my brother's like, come on out here. We'll put you to work. So I went on to the push boats and started working out there. But I was missing my family. They were growing up. There were kids at the time. And I really began to think about areas that I would make another shift in and trying to find something that I would like to do and also make a living. Mm-hmm. And so real estate really was always kind of attractive to me. Didn't really think about the appraisal side of it until I started really digging into the different facets of real estate. And so I began to take night classes. And when I was on my days off, I would take day classes, learning about and trying to get certified as a real estate appraiser. At the same time, got my real estate agent's license at the same time. Now, 30 years of doing this, I've listed one property for sale.
I was just about to say, that's a new, that's news to me that Joe's a real estate agent. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I've had my license the whole time, but I've really focused on the appraisal side of it. I literally listed one home for sale only because it was a friend of ours that was like, no, you're listing our house. And I'm like, man, listen, there's a ton of great agents out there. Please let them list your home. No, we're not letting anybody list our house. You're the guy. I'm like, okay. So I listed one house in 30 years, sold, got it under contract in 2 days. And so it was an experience to experience that side of it also, you know,
right.
But, so anyway, I got, went to school, got certified and started working part-time, still on the boats. And then on my time off, I would work just literally doing free appraisals for anybody that would let me appraise their home, friends, family, just trying to get that experience and that knowledge under my belt of different properties. And so, made that transition off the boats into the appraisal business and just began, you know, building that knowledge base and worked for three different companies before I started here in Hammond. So
that was going to be my next question was, did you start here in Tangipahoa Parish or was it?
I started on the South Shore and kind of got some knowledge there and, with a company actually out of Slidell. I started with a company in Slidell I would work, like I said, on my days off and stuff with them. And then I made a shift to a second company that was out of Metairie and really, you know, got some more knowledge. It was more of a firm of multiple appraisers. So whenever you're around other professionals, you start just getting those nuggets of knowledge and experience and be able to bounce those things. So it really began to build that up. Then we opened the office here in 1999, June of 1999, we opened the office in Hammond and was really spread out pretty far. I mean, we would go to Ascension Parish. We would go to East Baton Rouge Parish. And so just, you know, trying to build that client base up. And literally when we opened the office here in Hammond, I knew one person in Tangipahoa Parish and
you made a good statement that I want to like kind of jump to before we move forward of you opening the office in Hammond. There's so many people that want to just jump in and open a business, but you said it and I counted it 5 times. You said the word knowledge. And gaining knowledge from other people around you that have been in the business. And sometimes I think, and you can correct me if you're wrong, and it might just be an Erica of opinion, and that's okay, because I typically have a high opinion about a lot of things. But I feel like so many people want to just jump into something and they really haven't taken the time to study it or to understand how they're going to make that work. How is the business going to work? How are you going to market that? What's the knowledge that you bring to your clientele? Because for me in my business, and you know this, I'm a custom home builder, we have to have the trust factor that we know what we're doing. And obviously with appraisers, it's the same thing. You're entrusting someone to come in and do a site value on your home that ultimately is going to be brought to the bank. You know, so you have to be able to trust that person's knowledge, where they came from, their education background, how much time have they done this before they step foot in your house, right?
100%. Yeah. You know, you're so right on that the outside looks at small business owners and they go, oh man, look at that. They've got it, you know, they've got it made, they've got it down pat. They don't see the long hours of just, you know, just putting in the time to become that trusted professional.
Right.
I tell you, when when I came here, like I said, I knew one person and I started just networking. And so when I started networking and they, I joined Home Builders, mm-hmm. I joined the local Chamber of Commerce. And at that time I joined the Tangipahoa Realtors Association because they had a Realtors Association here in Tangipahoa Parish. And I just started networking and started building that trust on a person to person level, not about trust me as an appraiser, but get to know me first.
Right.
And then let's talk business, you know? And so I also volunteered at a local nonprofit to just find out where my community that I'm going to build a business at, where is their heart?
Right.
Right. Because I wanted to know what was important to the people that I was about to start building relationships with and building a business in their community. Now, I have basically been through nearby in three parishes. I've graduated in Washington Parish, met my wife and lived in St. Tammany Parish for a little while, and then here in Tangipahoa Parish since 1999. So I've been nearby, but I didn't have those relationships here yet. So, you know, being a small business owner, you, in my opinion, you have to know the heartbeat of the community that you're about to invest in, and not just your money, but your time and efforts also.
I agree.
So, you know, just kind of learning that and then start networking. And I'm telling you, Elaine and I would literally, we would pray for one job a day. Like, could we just get, I mean, one job a week. So like, could we just get one job a week, you know? And so at that time, no fax machines were working, you know? And
oh, man.
That phone would ring and that fax machine sound would go off and we'd be like, oh, please don't let it be spam, you know? And so it was just myself. Elaine was still working as a nurse. She was in the nursing field. And so I was, you know, here at the office by myself, and, you know, that fax machine would go off and man, it would be a job. And it's like, all right, here we go, you know? And so, you know, we'd make sure we take care of that, you know, take care of that client really good. And then, you know, 2 or 3 weeks later, we're getting three a week, you know, right. Four a week, you know? And we just began to really build that trust with the local community to know. I wanted them to know who I was first.
Right.
And where my heart was. And
I agree with you. I think I took the same stance. My mom was in marketing and she said that branding yourself was the number one thing that you can do for a small business. And my mom has started and sold three businesses that I can remember since I was a child. Uh-huh. And everything that she's done, it was always about branding yourself in the community of who you were first, and then what you were offering to the community to give back. And then once you receive their work, what were you doing to give back to the community after that to show appreciation for them basically entrusting you for the service that you were giving? And I think I followed those three steps when I started ENG here in Hammond, and I really made sure I did that. And I think you're saying the same thing. You know, you wanted people to know Joe Meir and what he wanted for his personal self first. I know that you're a man of faith and I love that. And I think that when people get to know people that way and they know that you're just trusting and you're humble in what you're doing and you want to help, they're more apt to refer you to someone else. And I know that's how we've grown, you know, just by word of mouth and marketing and just people getting to know me in general. What I like about you and your company is that you guys are always on the forefront. When you talk about appraisers in Tangipahoa Parish, Joe Meir's name or Meir Appraisals is at the top of the list, whether you're talking to anybody in the chamber or you're talking to realtors, like they know you. How did you continue to push that? Like, you know, we're laughing about the fax machine and those referrals that were coming in, but you know, at some point you really gained traction. Where do you think that really came from?
Yeah, I really think it really does come from those personal relationships. You have to get out into the community. It really doesn't matter what type of business that you're going to have. If you're expecting your client base or your client feed, you know, your leads to come from the public, they have to get to know you. I know when I do business, I'm a strong do business with small business, local small business owners. And so I am very aware of it, of people I do business with. And I want them to seek out the same things that I seek out when I seek to do business with someone. Are they local? Do they do a good, you know, do a good job? Are they trustworthy? How do they treat other people? You know, all those types of things. And when I began to network and try to build those relationships with realtors and lenders and the public, I just wanted them to know, you know, first of all, who I am. This is what I do. The appraisal side of it was really attractive to me because it really is. I'm an analytical thinker, and it's really about analyzing the data. You know, buying a home is so emotional, right? It's a very emotional process, whether you're building it from the ground up or you're buying an existing home. It's a very emotional process, and it's a very relationship process. I mean, how many times have you walked into a house and you thought, oh, I could buy this house. This is my house. Feel it, right?
Right. It's a feeling, and so, for sure.
And then other places you walk in, you're like, nah, this is just not, this is, well, I think doing business with people is kind of the same way. You're going to get that initial, and look, everybody has a bad day from time to time, right? You catch somebody at the wrong time and you're just like, wow, that was not a good experience. You know? So I am a firm believer in, you know, giving that those people that, you know, multiple chances to do business with, because sometimes, look, you just having one of those days, you know?
That's right. That's right. And everybody has an off day.
That's right. So you just have to kind of be aware of that. And, you know, I, as a small business owner, and you yourself also, I also have to check myself sometimes when I'm having that bad day for whatever reason, and that phone rings, I need to make sure I don't bring that to the phone call, to the next phone call, because of the previous phone call, right?
That's right.
So the appraisal side of that has really been attractive to me, because we really are that third party, independent part of the process. We don't have skin in the game of a commission if the house sells or if the loan closes or anything like that. So we really are, you know, the ears and eyes of the bank, if somebody's ordering a private appraisal, you know, they want data, they want real information. They don't want the emotional side of it. So, you know, that's what really attracted me to the appraisal side of things. And building those relationships with realtors, you know, I got involved with the local realtor association, even though I'm not a real estate agent. I recently served as the North Shore Area Board of Realtors president of that association. And I was honestly kind of reluctant to do it, because I was like, I'm not a broker. I'm not a real, you know, I don't practice real estate full time. And the board that was serving at that time was like, no, that's really why we want you to serve, because you are a different perspective, right? And so I really enjoyed serving with the North Shore Area Board of Realtors, because they just do so much besides serve their members. I mean, they give back to the local community. They serve the North Shore, but it was also another way of building some of those relationships with realtors that I typically would not have an opportunity to have those conversations and build those relationships with.
Just putting yourself in a room with people, putting yourself in a room with different people. I love that too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always about relationships, you know, and they may know, like you said earlier, I appreciate when you say things like, when people ask about appraisals, Joseph Meir Associates comes to the top of the list. I'm like, man, that's just heartwarming to me to know, and humbling at the same time to know that that happens.
Absolutely.
But I hope it's that way, because first of all, when they think of us, they know what we do in the community also, right? It's not just about business, because we want and have for 30 years give back to the community, whether it's our time, our resources, our knowledge. I teach a lot of classes, and for free. I don't charge to teach those classes and stuff. And I get that question sometimes from other appraisers, why do you do that so much? And I'm like, it's the golden key of business is just building those relationships.
So if we're talking about relationships, what have you found as an entrepreneur been the biggest struggle for you? Because I think that, like you said, going back to a statement that you said, that everybody says, oh, look at that small business owner. They've got it made. They're not really working all the time. They don't see the 5 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock at night, the relationship building, the network events, all the things that go into that. But then there are those great times. But I like to say that I want my podcast to be really raw and truthful, because I know that I could say some truth about what's been the hardest part for me as an entrepreneur. But what's been the hardest part for you?
Man, that's a great question. You know, honestly, when we do some of these appraisals and the data is just not supporting the contract of a person buying a house, right? Listen, they have already imagined the furniture in the bedroom. Amen. They've already imagined eating dinner at the dining room table. They walked into that house. Remember we said earlier,
that's right.
You walk in and you're like, this is my house, man. I get goosebumps just talking about it. But the data is not there. And man, we struggle to really make sure we're not missing something. And we have to report those final numbers, and those numbers are just not where they need to be able to purchase that house, you know, or to build that house. Or that is a major, we struggle with that. I mean, those appraisals, honestly, those appraisals, we work 2-3 times harder on than the ones that have the data that supports where it needs to be. And so, because we know that there's so much emotion in that, and there's so much, people's dreams are based, you know, I mean, they're like, oh man, we found the house, and especially in the market for the last 3 years, that the inventory has just been so low. And right. So they finally find the house that's within their price range and they're ready to purchase. And the data is not there to support it. And they don't have the extra cash to bring to the table. You know, I struggle with that.
Joe, I knew you were going to tell me that was your thing. For all my listeners out there, you don't know Joe. I know Joe. Like I said, we are both local here in Tangipahoa Parish. But if you know him, you know his heart. I knew you were going to say something. I didn't know exactly, but I knew it was going to be something around that, because it goes back to the trust value that you have with your clients and the humbleness. Like, I have goosebumps just saying it, because I knew that's what you, something along the realm of just not positive news was probably going to be the hardest thing.
Yeah.
That's one of my hardest things, when clients walk in and they've already fallen in love with their dream home, or they find these prints online and they want this beautiful home. Like you said, they've already envisioned themselves. And then how terrible am I to tell them that they can't have it? I have to work on a finesse on how you tell them that. I've been in business for 5 years now, and it's not any easier today than what it was the first time that I had to say it. Sometimes clients get mad. They get mad. And then we're the bad guy. And it's like, no, I'm just being honest with you, you know, but I want to work with you to try to find a compromise. And I know that's not the same thing for you, because you can't compromise on the data, right?
Right.
But for us, I will say that is one of our hardest things with our clients, letting them down. I don't like to let anyone down ever,
right,
ever. Right. That's not my personality.
Yeah,
I will
right.
like
I
go
that's
over
my, I
and beyond to try to help. But I do, I agree with you. I think that that's a hard thing. I think one of my other struggles in our field, not just as an entrepreneur, is obviously the market. And you touched on that. We have a very low inventory. Even right now, historically, I've sat in some of the classes that you've taught, which are wonderful. If you have a chance, anybody out there, that you can go and see Joe give one of his speeches, or one of his classes, you absolutely should go. It's very educational, especially to our surrounding parishes. But we still have a very low inventory, but we're in a really crazy market right now too. And I'd love to get your intake on that, where interest rates are high, inventory is low. But we, our appraisal values in our parish, in our parish at least, are seeing some of the highest that we've seen historically, you know? So what's your take on that market? That's a crazy roller coaster that I just said.
Absolutely. You know, here we are in October of 2023. We've just experienced 3 years of a housing market that is not typical, right? We had, so pre-COVID, which would have been April of 2020, we would typically have 700 to 800 houses on the market at any given time in Tangipahoa Parish for sale. In St. Tammany Parish, we would have, you know, 2,500 houses for sale in what would be a typical market, right? So COVID hits, people didn't really know what was about to happen, and interest rates drop. Well, when interest rates dropped, everyone jumped into the housing market, right? I mean, investors, home buyers, everybody jumped into the and immediately absorbed the housing inventory. We got down to less than 100 houses for sale in Tangipahoa Parish at one point, and less than 300 houses in St. Tammany Parish at one point. Which is just, I mean, if you think about that, if you've got 100 houses for sale and you take out the ones that are probably needing a lot of repairs or something, or take out the ones that might be a little overpriced, you might have 50 houses on the market, right?
Right.
So we really got down to a really low inventory. Now, the inventories began to build back up. Like I said, we're in October of 23 now. The market kind of peaked in June of 2022. Across the North Shore, really mostly nationwide, the market peaked in 2022. And it really kind of had to have a market correction. We had 37 months of price increasing, purchase price increasing. And on top of that, the builders were really struggling majorly with the cost to build, right? So lumber went up, and I know I'm preaching to the choir. You know these things, but your listeners may not.
That's right. They
need to hear that too. Lumber went up over 400%. Anything to do with the house, from the concrete to the shingles, prices went up, right? And so we really had this. I hate to use the old slogan, the perfect storm of everything. We had costs going up. Now we've got interest rates going up. I think the only thing that's kind of kept our housing market going is the lack of inventory. So
our areas in like a really quirky place too, because some of our listeners are going to be nationwide, right? And they're like, no, they don't know what they're talking about. Interest rates are high. Inventory is coming back and nobody's buying or building hardly anything right now. But our market in our area, I call it like its own little niche, because we still have so many people moving into our parishes that are either leaving New Orleans area or the south of 55 and 12, moving to the North Shore. So even after Katrina, when the housing market had its big downfall, we actually held pretty fairly here. I think that now what we're seeing on the North Shore is that people are getting a little bit nervous. They're like, oh, wow, if I have to go buy the low inventory house that needs some remodeling, but at a higher sticker price and a higher interest rate, then I'm just going to sit where I am.
Yeah.
Because they probably refied during COVID. Or you have the opposite side, where you have people that are just in a position that want to move and need to move or have to because of jobs.
Yeah.
But yet they're not getting nearly the house that they were getting a year and a half ago for the price point that they are.
Right. Right. So real estate, and I say this a lot, real estate's a living, breathing thing. It changes every day, depending on what's the market forces that are hitting it. Right. So we still have the market force of buyers on the sideline. We have buyers that are looking to buy. Even at, you know, today in third week of October, we are at 8% interest rates, right? Well, the interest rates, yes, they have a little bit of a factor in people buying, but people do not stop buying real estate. Even historically, when the interest rates were double digits, people didn't stop buying homes. They just bought less home, right? Mm-hmm. It's all budget driven, right? Budget driven. So one of the talks I give is on, will the income levels keep up with the housing market?
Ding, and, ding, ding.
Yes.
This is a hot topic. Hot topic. Joe, you might be getting into hot water right here now.
Well, you know, we have to get, you know, income levels. You can put your house on the market for $1 million. If the income levels in your market can't support $1 million, it's going to sit, you know? And so it's really this fine line of the market of existing inventory, of pricing it competitively. And then I really feel for the builders that have to build in this market because, man, look, there's so many cool gadgets and cool features in homes now that people want. And look, I want them too.
You know? Yeah, they all want them, Joe. They all want them.
Right, right. And they're awesome, right? But on the appraisal side of a lot of these extras that people want in the house, it's hard for the market to support it because it's like going down to the car lot and buying that new car and you want all these extras in the car. Well, when that car hits the market for the secondary purchase, that second buyer doesn't really consider the windshield wipers on the headlights as an extra feature that they really want. They'll take it if it's there, but they're not willing to pay extra for it, you know? So sometimes we run into that on the appraisal side of, you know, supporting all these extras in the house. So I really feel for the builders in that sense.
You'd be so proud of me. When my clients come, I'm going to give myself a little kudos on this one because I preach this to my clients every time we sit at the table. It doesn't matter what their budget is.
Right.
You have to know that your appraisal value is based on the living square feet of your house. And when I say that, that's the heating and cooling space. I know that we live in a rural area, and I think I have a blinking sign outside that says, if you have land, please call me. I will build your house. Yeah. So they want these big, beautiful Acadian style houses with these 500 square foot plus front porches. But let's be realistic. If you have a tighter budget, you're not getting appraisal value for that. You're getting value for your land. You're getting value for the living square foot. Then I tell them, let's talk about the interior of the home. Yes, just like you said, you can have all these gadgets. They are beautiful. I love them. And I love doing them because what does that do? That showcases me, the builder that can do all of these things, right? But in the same token, in the market that we're in, I try to tell them, is this something that can be added on later so that we can use the most money from your lender to get you the square footage that you want? That's a hard mindset to change. But you are absolutely hitting perfectly on that. And I hope any listener, whether you are here in our parish or you are off in Ohio, you hear us. Appraisal value does not cover your personal aesthetics. Right. It will give you some, right? If you have a very high-end floor, yes. But if you decide that you want three hidden doors that go into your master closet or into your wine and whiskey room, you're not getting appraisal value for $3,000 or $4,000 worth of doors that it's going to cost you. So aesthetics is a huge thing too, that I struggle with my clients, telling them you have to decide what's more important. Are you going to pay for it out of pocket? Or are we going to be rolling this in? And if we're rolling it in with your lender and your appraisal value, then we need to be careful what we're putting in there. So kudos to ENG's team. We're rocking it on the aesthetics conversation.
Exactly. You know, and yeah, I mean, square footage is a major part of it. And all the other things that you mentioned are part of the appraisal process. Also the type of materials that are being used, the room count, the bedroom count, the bath count, the car storage count, all those are big factors. It's when you get into those personal preference items, that it gets expensive and the market doesn't reflect it, you know? We can get into a whole nother podcast talking about that, you know, but it's just good to know, you know, going in, if you're really watching and digging into all these gadgets and stuff, you know, you're going to need some cash. You're going to need some side money to get it taken care of while the home is being built, but it may not be able to be reflective in the appraisal for the lender side, like you talked about.
So when we get back to the appraisals and your team, I know that Miss Elaine works with you. How many are on your team now?
So I've got myself and three appraisers, three staff appraisers, and then my wife Elaine is our office manager and head honcho, and she keeps us all moving in the right direction. You know?
Yeah. So Mr. Joe, how has that been with you and Miss Elaine working together? I know that y'all are a beautiful couple, and like I said before, walk in faith, and I love that about you guys. But in all fairness, Garland and I work together. So I love asking that question. As a couple, how does that dynamic work? And I know we joke, you just joke that Miss Elaine's the head honcho. Garland says that I'm the boss. He's the silent G. But in all honesty, how does that work?
Yeah, it's definitely a team. And, you know, I get that question a lot, like, man, how do you work with your wife all day and then, you know, home that evening? And I'm like, you know, when we're at work, you know, and yes, we interact and, you know, we're bouncing things off of one another. But, you know, we each have our tasks to do each day, you know. And so Elaine's a retired nurse. She was in the nursing field for 20 years and retired out of the nursing profession. And I tell you, I admire couples that can do it. It's really a team effort. It really is. Who knows you better than your spouse? Amen. Right. And so it's a plus because, you know, when things are stressful, we know it, you know, we know each other. We know something's going on that we're stressed out about, and we can, you know, pull each other through that. The other side of that is we both are team, you know, we're a team in this, and we definitely want to make sure our entire team is successful. Our staff appraisers are getting the knowledge on a constant basis of changing analytic ways of analyzing data, and also that they're well taken care of with their families, you know. So it's really been great. Elaine and I will be married 37 years next May, and you know, we've got three children and eight grandchildren.
Yeah.
So we're in that season of life that we're enjoying the grandkids, and it's just been a blessing. It really has been a blessing. And like I said, when starting out, it was just me, and she would kind of, you know, come in and do books and stuff because she was still working also. But now we work full time together, and it's really been a great experience for us. I know some couples that work together struggle with that, but I would say it's patience. When patience are needed, we both have beliefs in how to do business. And so like many couples, we're opposites. I'm really an extrovert. Elaine's, you know, kind of an introvert and, you know, really, you know, kind of a quiet person. And I'm not.
Yeah. Out of all the couples that I've talked to thus far for the podcast, because I do just a couple power couple podcasts too. And it seems that they're all like that. Somebody is more of the social extrovert and the other is an introvert. So I definitely think that that plays a huge role when trying to keep that dynamic in the office.
I think it gives a good balance also.
Yeah. Yeah, life balance. So I think patience is a great nugget. And then my favorite word is respect, to be able to listen, whether I agree or disagree, whether my way is right or wrong, hence typically mine's right. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, that respect to sit down and say, we are a team. This is our baby. This is what we're driving to the next step, to the next level, to respect each other's line of communication on where their vision is too. Right. Cause we probably have different visions sometimes.
Oh, 100%. And you know, to have that person that you know you trust that's going to say no when you need to hear no, having yes people around you all the time is not good. You need to have somebody that's willing to tell you no. And so in a respectful way, right? And so I would caution, you know, any small business owner that has just yes people around you, that's dangerous. You really need to, whether it's a spouse or a trusted friend, you really need to have someone around you that you can bounce your ideas off of, because small business owners are a different breed. They're a different brain. We're always looking, you know, I mean, gosh, I can't tell you how many times I look at another small business and go, oh, if this was my business, I would do this differently, you know, and, you know, not that they're doing anything wrong, just, you know,
your brain works differently, right?
Yeah, you know, it does. And so, you know, it's crazy to watch the crazy social media stuff of how people treat business, small business, especially your local small business, because your local small business are the ones that are sponsoring your local kids' football teams.
That's,
you know, your local dance teams, you know, and people forget that sometimes, and they jump on the internet and they use some out of town professional, and all of a sudden they're three quarters through the process and it's falling apart. There's nobody to talk to. And you know what? Maybe it didn't fall apart. Maybe it did go smooth as ice, right? But the money just left your community.
Yeah.
That money's not coming back as a payroll to that person that's working in your community. That money's not coming back to invest in your local nonprofits or your local baseball, football, dance teams, whatever. That money's gone out of your community. So, you know.
Oh, that was just like an amen right there. Amen. And just the simple fact of what you put in is what you get out. I think that's how I would say about small businesses. And so with saying that, my last question for this morning is, what is next for Joe Meir or Meir Appraisals? Like, what is next?
Oh, man. You know, I just think we're expanding our footprint of non-lender type of appraisal work. I'm really seeing this need for succession and estate planning, because it's so important to have that plan in place. And maybe it's my age that I'm beginning to see this, right? I remember thinking a 55-year-old was kind of an old dude. But, you know, I'm really kind of in that season right now of you got to have a plan. And so we really have been expanding our footprint in the appraisal side of things to get your assets appraised for your estate planning, because you don't want to leave that. I won't say burden, but sometimes it is a burden if you don't do the proper planning and you've got real estate and it's going to be left to your children or some type of trust. You really need to be talking to your CPA, and your CPA is going to be calling your appraiser to get your properties appraised, to get a value on those. And so when things were really crazy busy with all the stuff that was low interest rates and stuff, we didn't have time to really market that and really get into that. And since the slowdown a little bit, it's given me some time to really think about different ways, because there's all different facets of appraisal work, not just construction or refis or lender work. There's all different types of appraisal facets of doing appraisal work. So I think that's one of the things that we're really stretching out and getting that message out, that we're doing more of that type of work, estate planning. Unfortunately, some litigation and divorce appraisals, we've been doing some of that, but it's just another, you know, a facet of business and serving the public. And again, it comes back to that trust, you know, even on the divorce appraisals. And I know we get short on time, but, you know, I get that call and like, I need this appraisal low, you know, or I need this appraisal high, you know, and I'm like, time out. That's not what we do. You
right.
know, we're going to do a fair market value. We're going to treat everybody fairly and do it in a fair way. And wherever it falls is where it falls. And so I immediately get, well, I appreciate that. you know,
that's right.
The response back is, well, I appreciate that, you know, or, and it's okay if they don't want that. There's, they can go up somewhere else and see if they can get somebody else to do that for them. But we really want to be that trustworthy connection in the community that can give honest business back and forth.
So Joe, with that being said, with everything that you offer, your classes, appraisals, obviously we just talked about trust setups and appraisals for that. Where can people find you, call you? Where's your office at? Where can they find Joe Meir and his team?
Sure. So we're centrally located in beautiful Hammond, Louisiana, and we cover from Denham Springs to Slidell. That's our coverage area and everything north of I-12. So that's St. Helena, Washington Parish, St. Tammany Parish, Tangipahoa Parish, Livingston Parish. And I'm easy to find. You can Google joemeir.com or just go to, you know, joemeir.com. And I'm very easy to find on the Google search engine. So we're very easy to find. You can also give us a call at 985-230-0730. I'll give you my cell number. My cell number is 985-634-2910. I'm available. We do a lot of consulting, sit down and consulting on a fee basis. But if people call just with a simple question, we take those questions and answer them, you know. But anyway, we're very easy to get in touch with and can find me pretty easily, sometimes too easily.
Well, Joe, I am super excited that you came on this morning to talk and share all of your knowledge and experience with us. We are super excited that everyone joined us to Escape this morning. I hope that you found knowledge. I hope that you empower, embrace, and elevate yourself this week. Until the next time, we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on this exhilarating episode of Escapes. We hope that you've been inspired, empowered, and ready to embark on your own journey. The power to escape and redefine is within you. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Escapes to help us reach more incredible women and men like you. You can also follow me on Facebook at ENG Designs and Construction and Instagram at Build with ENG. Stay tuned for more amazing stories, insights, and strategies in our upcoming episodes. Together, we'll rewrite the scripts of our unknown possibilities. Until next time, this is Erica Hemphill from Escapes. Your adventure continues, and we can't wait to be a part of it. Until next time, continue to embrace, empower, and elevate.